Poorly Read.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
You can tell that Tom has had a coffee.
Did I do it with too many beans again?
Yeah, too many beans. No, no more musical cues, Tom. We've talked about this. Yeah. Wow.
What?
We just said yeah at the same time. Or did you not say yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring the stars out.
Do you remember those phones for you adverts?
And with the hand.
Yeah, and
signals.
One of them just ended with the guy, whichever the guy with the long hair who had like a character name, the American guy would say something to him like in his car, and then the guy would go, yeah, 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 like that's over and over again.
I have no recollection of that whatsoever. What era? I haven't watched TV adverts in many years.
This was like when I was still watching TV, so like, I think I was in high school or college. Yeah, way back in the day when MSN Messenger was still a thing.
Oh, MSN Messenger.
I miss those days, man.
Yeah.
People don't know what it was like. I remember before the advent of that, me and my friends used to just send emails back and forth.
Really?
And, yeah, yeah, to like keep like refreshing the page.
I just remember just changing whatever song lyrics I was into as my screen name.
I used to put song lyrics too, but I was really into Madonna at the time.
We were into very different music.
But yeah, I would just put like, because I just discovered her Erotica album, which is full of like naughty lyrics and stuff. And I would just put like the most like crude lyrics from that onto the thing, thinking I was being so like edgy and like,
yeah.
As for, whoa, oh, I'm such, ugh. I'm having flashbacks to everything and I feel so much shame. Oh, God.
This is like the minstrel costume all over again.
Do you ever just have that moment where you're like brushing your teeth and you get like a random flashback of something embarrassing you did like 10 years ago?
Yeah, always.
And it's like, oh, God, why? And you can never take it back.
No, you can't. Oh, we all have to live with it. We all have to live with the horrible, cringy things we did.
Alas, maybe I'll get hit by a steel beam and forget everything.
And it will have still happened, though.
Yeah, but as long as I couldn't remember, maybe I'd be cool with it. Because everyone else wouldn't be that much of a cunt that they would just like bring it up in front of me.
Well, no,
they want to forget it too.
This is the thing. I can't really remember anything super cringy that anyone else did.
Same, same.
So therefore, maybe no one can remember.
Do you know what? I remember something that someone we know said to me once, and I think after they said it, they regretted it instantly because they thought that maybe I was having an inner reaction to it, but trying not to express it.
Oh, right.
And I really wasn't. I didn't have any kind of feelings about it at all. I was like, oh, okay. But I look back on that and think, I wonder if they think about that moment and wonder if I still think about it.
I wonder if he's forgiven me.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe like years from now, I might just bring it up and see what they think.
Yeah, just bring that up and just be like, I've decided that I'm fine with it. Just so you know.
I just want you to know, in case you can't ever sleep at night, that I'm fine with it. Not with you not sleeping at night, with the awful thing that you said. So yeah, let's begin with, what book are we doing?
We're doing Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, chapters 11, 12 and 13.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll bring the stars out.
Oh, God, I hope he tweets us. Who does that song, Tiny Temper?
Tiny Temper, yeah.
It's not a good name, is it? No. Unless he's listening to us, and then it's a great name.
I mean, he doesn't spell either word correctly.
I know. Yeah. Why is that a thing?
I don't know. SEO?
What?
Make it more Googleable.
SEO?
Search Engine Optimization.
Oh. Sorry, Tom.
Never mind.
Tom feels proud of himself that he said something that I didn't know for a change. Right, so chapter 11 starts with Mr. Weasley getting a message from the ministry.
Yeah, and it's called Aboard the Hogwarts Express.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was called chapter 11. Mr. Weasley gets a message from the ministry.
Yeah, and via what communication method does he receive this message?
Fucking hell. Amos Diggory puts his head in the fire.
He does.
If you can see my face right now, listeners, you'd see it contorting in ways you can't imagine.
Because that's how we podcast. Using facial expressions.
Yes, I love that podcast is a visual medium, Tom, don't you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's why I got into it.
That's why we do every episode wearing clown makeup. Yeah, fucking Amos's, like, head is in the fire.
Yeah.
That sounds weird to me for some reason.
It does.
Not even for some reason, for good reason, I feel.
Yeah. It happens later on, I think, Sirius.
Yeah, a few times it happens, actually, in different books.
And I think this is because, I think this is how it is in the film, but their head is almost sort of a spectral, like, hologrammy image.
In film 5 it is, which is how it should be. In film 4, Sirius's head, like, comes out of the embers.
You say that's how it should be. Molly feeds Amos's head a bit of toast.
Yeah.
How could you do that if it was just a spectral image of it?
Oh, okay. I think what I mean is that it's the way the spectral image from film 5 is closer to what I imagined it to be. But in the book, I imagine it to be just like the floating head in the fire, but a fully corporeal head.
Yeah, I mean, I think it must be. So, which means, like, wherever Amos is, on all fours, his head in a grate. Like, that's leaves you open.
Molly's
to...
like, Amos, why couldn't you just come here? He's like, there's some things going on the other side, Molly. Which,
Yeah, it turns out it's like no one does this. Yeah. Everyone just steps their whole body into the fire. It's like, Amos, why have you sent only your head? Well.
Amos, is it a poo thing or a gay thing? He's like, both, Molly.
In other words, I'm having a colonic, as we said.
I'm having a semen colonic. the reason he's sort of put his head in the fire is because there's been a ruckus at Mad-Eye Moody's house, who's a good friend of theirs from the past.
Yeah, there's a whole explanation of who Mad-Eye Moody is. Yeah. He's an aura, and he was one of the best, but he's gone a bit mental, and he...
Yeah, he's sort of just gone a bit doolally. But Arthur has to get involved because outside Mad-Eye Moody's house, some of the rubbish bins, like... kind of got set off basically and started spewing rubbish at whoever had
approached because he'd like charmed them to attack whoever intruded his house because he's super paranoid about getting attacked from a career of fighting dark wizards
so
and everything.
So it's like a misuse of muggle artifacts kind of vibe.
And it's like, if Rita Skeeter gets a hold of this, we're finished. Because she'll have a fucking field day. You've got to get down there and sort it out.
And Amos says, sorry, Molly, but Arthur's the only one who can get Mad-Eye off. And I chuckled to myself on the train. I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll bring my bucket and my marigolds.
Yeah. And Molly, a pot of gravy, if you'd be so kind.
Smooth or chunky? So Percy's like, yeah, I got to go into the ministry as well. I just can't get time off. Crouch is really relying on me. And Fred's like, you know what, Percy? Maybe you'll even know your name soon.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Percy, you fucking wanker.
Exactly.
So
in order to get them to the station, Molly braves the telephone at the post office and orders 3 muggle taxis.
Yeah.
To come and pick them up. How do we feel about that?
First of all, who's going to pay for these?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe you can exchange muggle money, wizard money for muggle money at the post office.
That would, you would need a fucking wizard to be working there.
You told me that there are wizards.
No, they work in the postal service. I don't know if they work at post offices.
At every post office in the country. Yeah, there aren't even, I reckon there are more post offices in the country than there are wizards.
Probably, actually, yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I bet the Molly was just like, Harry... by any chance.
Harry hasn't got any muggle money.
No, but he might have. Because he might have like kept some gold from his vault. And then maybe...
If he was sensible, he would have done that. He would have brought some wizard money, found a... Can you do it at Gringotts?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just transferred some so that he can take a little stash back to the Dursleys and do what he wants with it over the summer.
Yeah, because like he might want like some... penny sweets or whatever.
Yeah.
Because back then, penny sweets were still a thing.
Yeah. There was still a penny.
Yeah. No more.
No more.
Just, can you remember that 100 sweets you could get for a fucking pound?
Yeah. I never actually did that, I don't think.
I mean, I was quite a fat kid, so I definitely did, yeah. And they used to do these, like, bubble gums that were shaped like golf balls. I remember getting 100 of those once.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know why. My fucking jaw was killing me afterwards. Yeah, and I used to get the Spice Girls bubble gums as well, because they were in, like, the penny sweets thing. And I remember I stuck a picture of Mel C on the front of my bike. I think just because there was no other ones that I got that day. They must have been, because I don't know why else I'd fucking put Mel C on the front. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, they get to King's Cross and...
pay for the taxi somehow.
Yeah, maybe she just gave him gravy. Just gave her like a fucking like Hessian bag full of gravy. And the cab driver's like, what? She's like, it's okay, you can dump your chips in this. And he's like,
oh my God.
I mean, to be fair, it does smell all right. So I guess so. Thanks. And then she's like, Avada Kedavra.
They get onto the platform and they're a hint, like Bill hints that he's like, oh, you might be seeing me sooner than you think.
No, Charlie says
that. Oh, is it Charlie? Yeah. Oh, of course, because he's the dragon guy, yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, you might be seeing me sooner than you think. And they're like, what? Why? And he's like, oh, can't tell ya.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off then.
I totally agree, yeah. Because Bill's like, yeah, you know what? I wish I was back at Hogwarts this year. And then they're like, why? Yeah. Like, why do you wish that? And he's like, oh, you'll find out soon enough.
Yeah. Might get time off, see if I can watch some of it. Watch some of what? Oh, I'm not telling you.
That's the kind of thing that would make me, like, want to just, like, turn my back on my family. I just like, that's it, I'm done. Yeah. So yeah, they get on the train, they find a cabin.
Yeah, and Pigwidgeon has been like screeching the entire time.
Yeah, why?
And like, because he's just an excitable little shit. I think I would have killed him by now. Or just thrown him out the window and told him to go and live somewhere else.
Oh, that is so fucking harsh.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, let's hope that Tom doesn't become a fucking foster parent. Bloody hell.
I mean, I wouldn't do that with a human. Probably.
I wouldn't do that to a nice cherub-faced blonde boy, but... Yeah, and then, like, Malfoy fucking shows up at the door. No, he doesn't. He walks past the carriage, and Hermione overhears... What? What?
What?
You were looking at your phone like I'd, like, was speaking about the wrong...
Oh, no. You just skipped a couple of my notes, so I'm trying to look for where
sorry.
That is and what he says.
No, God. Well, mate, do you want to be, like, the driving... for us then, because you probably have more
shall
detailed
now. Shall I be the train driver for this chapter aboard the Hogwarts Express?
Do you want to be Ern and I'll be Stan?
Well, no, the only notes I had was that they start to talk about Durmstrang and Beauxbatons. And I can't think why, because they don't know the Trials of Tournament's happening yet.
I think it's... No, right. So Malfoy was walking past the carriage and then he says to Crabbe and Goyle, yes, Father wanted me to go to Durmstrang, but Mother said it was too far away from home.
Oh,
yeah.
Then I think mine is maybe like... that's it. Okay, so maybe you actually didn't skip any of my notes and maybe I'm just... that's awkward, isn't it? Whoa. Remember how we were talking about when you remember saying those awkward things and it just haunt you forever? Oh, that's another one.
Oh, I just send you like a voicemail at 2 a.m. just like reminding you. So yeah, like Hermione sort of explains to the other two what the other schools are.
Because Hermione says nobody knows where Durmstrang... Because we had a brief conversation in an earlier episode about where Durmstrang is.
Yeah.
Because Crumb's Bulgarian and he goes there. But no one knows where Durmstrang or Beauxbatons are, according to Hermione, because they're all shrouded in mystery.
Yeah, and then one of them's like, one of them says something about Hogwarts, and then Hermione's like, but Hogwarts is hidden.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, well, why don't Hogwarts have any of those protections and stuff? And she's like, it does. Have you not read Hogwarts history?
I'm like, no, Hermione. You bitch. You know I can't read.
You keep asking me if I've read books.
And you keep on doing it in front of other people, and you do it on purpose, honey. And she just gives him a little wink. Yeah, then Malfoy appears again.
He asks them,
well, should we tell them about what she actually says about the castles and stuff? So they say that they put charms in them, muggle repelling charms.
Yeah.
So the muggles appear, the places just look like old ruins, saying keep out. And they make them unplottable. So if people try to find them on a map,
they can't plot them on a map.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wonder what would happen if you were drawing a map and went to, all right, just like draw a little X on the map and write Hogwarts underneath it.
I guess maybe your pencil,
the ink would just run away on the page.
Or maybe every time you tried to do it, like your hand would sort of like scooch over to the side.
Yeah.
So it's
the, or maybe it would be similar to how like the muggle repelling charms can, as soon as they approach, make someone remember an urgent appointment or something they have to do that takes them in the opposite direction. If you go to draw that point on a map, you suddenly get distracted and can't finish it.
I need to kill my whole family. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, oh, I remember now. That's what I was going to do.
That's it. I need to bludgeon my wife with a hose pipe.
Yeah.
A hose pipe? That would fucking take forever, wouldn't it?
She's got to get her with the plastic bit on the end, the nozzle. Well, it'd be a nice distraction from plotting Hogwarts on a map.
Ron is like unpacking some of his stuff on the train, and he takes out his dress robes.
He takes out his dress robes to throw over Pigwidgeon's cage.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Well done, Tom.
I was like, I would just fucking kill it.
Oh, God, stop wanting to kill his hand. Jesus Christ, he's done nothing wrong. The Malfoy appears in the doorway.
I can't remember exactly how it starts. It's just something. Oh, he points at Ron's dress robe and he's like, they might have been fashionable in the 1890s. You're not planning on wearing those, are you, Weasley?
Yeah.
And he's being a cunt as per usual. And he asks them if they're going to enter.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. And they're all like, okay.
And then he's like, oh, well, didn't your father tell you? And he works at the ministry.
Yeah.
My father told me ages ago.
I suppose your father's too low down. He probably doesn't even know.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is quite a fair assumption, really.
I mean, he does know.
Yeah.
Even Percy knows.
Yeah, but Percy's Crouch's assistant.
Mm.
Arthur just works in, like, the muggle artifacts bit.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Maybe everyone at the ministry knows.
I feel like they probably do.
I bet you any money the Weasleys are the only family that doesn't know.
Fucking Bill and Charlie know.
Yeah.
They don't work at the ministry.
No, but Charlie is the dragon man.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe Bill just heard on the grapevine. Like that famous song, Tom.
Ah, yes. D-I-S-C-O.
Oh, God. Yeah, so Malfoy says, yeah, like, your dad's too low down in the thingy, and then he fucks off. And then Ron, sort of, like, to the group is like,
Ron dad important. Ron dad know things.
And Hermione's like, well done, Ron. That was great.
Now here's Hogwarts history.
No, Ron says, our dad could have got a promotion any time. He just likes it where he is.
Hermione's like, of course he could have.
Yeah, of course he could have, Ron. He's so good. Just like you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was... are either of those statements true?
What, that Ron's dad likes it where it is? I think it's true that he likes it where he is. Because he fucking loves muggles, doesn't he? He builds plugs in his fucking garage or whatever.
So true, yeah.
So I think...
So maybe it is kind of his dad's fault as well then that...
Yeah.
They're not very good parents, are they?
I mean, I was going to say in some ways that's admirable.
It is if you ain't got a family to provide for.
If you're struggling to provide for your family and your family is wanting for things and you're still making those choices, then there's maybe some questions to be asked.
Yeah, if it was just like, you know...
But
like
his family seems happy enough.
Yeah, but you
apart
don't...
Apart from Ron with his shitty dress robes.
Yeah, and I just think if he could have just maybe... I would hate to think that he got offered things and then said no just because he liked looking at muggle shit.
Yeah.
And where it could have actually made like a real difference to his like family.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, it's like just that's the kind of the consequence of having a family. You do have to sort of make
decisions that are best for them.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. You know.
Anyway.
Well, after that solemn note.
Yeah. They arrive at Hogsmeade Station and it's raining. Which brings us into chapter 12, I believe.
Yeah, I accidentally wrote Triwizard 2 Ornaments. Yeah, so the first year is do the usual, like, trip across the lake. These lot get into their seemingly, like, self-driving carriages.
Yeah.
To go up to Hogwarts.
Hogwarts.
Yeah.
Yeah, when they arrive in the entrance hall and they're all like, oh, yeah, bloody wet out there, innit? And then Ron gets hit in the head with a water balloon.
Oh, yeah. By Peeves, and McGonagall shows up and she's like, Peeves, I will tell the headmaster.
Peeves.
Peeves, have you been raiding my water balloon store again?
You know what they're full of, don't you?
Yeah, and then so they... Because they go into the hall as you do, and then like the Creevy boys twins show up. No, sorry, is it Colin Creevy's little brother?
Colin Creevy comes up to them and he's like, "All right, how are you?" All excited and shit. And he's like, "My brother Dennis is starting today. He's first year. He's going to be sorted. Oh, isn't it exciting?" And Harry's like, "Yes, Colin. Yes, Colin. It's very exciting. I'm looking forward to meeting your brother Dennis very much."
Yeah, and then
they're looking for another Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher, and they can't see any new faces on the.
No, it's not something about the twins or the brothers. No, like one of them says, like, oh, I hope he's in Gryffindor or something.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, Colin's like, I hope he's in Gryffindor. He probably will be, though, won't he? Siblings usually get sorted into the same house. And then Hermione's like, well, not necessarily. The Patil twins.
Yeah, one's in Gryffindor, they're twins, one's in Ravenclaw. And one's in,
yeah, they're twins. One's in Gryffindor, one's in Ravenclaw.
Which is weird, isn't it?
It is a bit, but...
You know. I don't think this hat knows what it's doing. I mean...
that's an excellent quote. We can make a t-shirt out of that or a hat.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
that'd be sweet.
I don't think this hat knows what it's doing.
So yeah, they all sort of get settled, and then the first years arrive, and they're all fucking soaking wet. And
yeah, like if they thought they were wet, there was nothing compared to the first years.
And Dennis is in Hagrid's like what coat is it? It's like a massive fur coat,
like moleskin overcoat, I think.
And he's like the wettest of all of them.
Yeah, and he looks over at his brother, and he's like, "I fell in the lake."
Yeah,
and he looks positively delighted about it.
Hagrid tried to drown me. Felt just like home. Yeah, and then, like, so after... Like, I put that after he said I fell in the lake. If that was me, I would have quit then and there. I'd be like, that's it. I'm going back home. Don't want anything to do with this fucking school.
Well, you've already said that you would get in the boat.
Yeah. If I took that chance, though, I was like... I'll do it this time.
Well, yeah.
And then it happened, I'd be like, that's it.
But it was a really stormy and choppy night, wouldn't it? Which is why he fell in and he got thrown over.
Yeah, and then the fucking squid saved him.
Yeah, see, squid's fine.
No, it's not, Tom.
It saved him.
Yeah, but can you imagine that coming towards you in the deep?
I don't think you'd see it. It's dark and it's night and it's a choppy sea.
I can't even talk about this. It's like literally frightening me too much.
All
like.
Right, so you're in the water. Picture it. Picture the scene.
I can't think of anything more terrifying. I really can't.
You've got no sense of what sort of aquatic terrors lie beneath you.
So yeah, like they bring out this sorting hat in the store and the hat sings his song.
Yep.
Is it the first song we hear since book one?
Yeah. It mentions that due to an unfortunate series of circumstances, Harry hadn't been present at a sorting since his own.
Yeah. What were the other ones? He crashed into the tree in the second book.
He got whomped.
Yeah, and then what happened in the third book?
He got dementored on the train and then was in the hospital wing.
Oh.
Or being fed chocolate by Lupin or something.
No, that was on the train. Didn't he wake up on the train?
Yeah. Maybe they took him straight to Madame Pomfrey.
That's not fair.
It's a bit, isn't it?
I guess it's only a sorting hall. I mean, how many fucking songs can he sing, really? They all say the same thing.
One every year.
Yeah, we always just describe what the founders did and then how we should all be friends.
Yeah.
Maybe he should just compress it. It's like a 2-line song.
I mean, it's not super long.
It's too long for me.
Yeah. All right, so the hat sings its song.
I'm trying to think of what a 2-line song would be. Hold on. Okay, right. Long ago, 4 founders were friends. So let's carry that on and all make amends.
I'm so glad I hung on.
And then Dumbledore sort of does like a slow clap, like, yeah. Well done, Hat. Yeah. I'm so glad I paid you that extra salary this year. Yeah. And then Dean Thomas is like, I wrote a rap, sir, if I can perform that. He's like, no, Dean. Yeah.
How many times?
Yeah.
Now get in the corner with the others.
It's like, oh, God. And Harry leans over to Hermione and then he's like, that's what you should be concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah, house elves.
Yeah. Yeah, I did put that the Creevy brothers seem annoying, but kind of sweet, though.
They're just excitable.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they're the sort of thing that I wouldn't wish harm upon, but I wouldn't want to get too involved with.
So, you have more sympathy for two boys than you do a bird.
Yes.
What strange logic, Tom. So they... So my favourite bit of this chapter... I'm not lying, right? I literally, when he said this, I burst out laughing on the train because I wasn't expecting it. So after the sorting, Dumbledore stands up and says, I only have 2 words to say to you. Tuck in.
What?
Because when he said, I only got 2 words to say to you, there was like this moment of silence and I thought, I bet he says something that I can make like an innuendo out of.
Yeah.
But then he said that and I wasn't expecting it. Just like the tuck that you would do, like you, so you, do you know, I guess you maybe you wouldn't. So if you're like a female impersonator or
a young child pretending.
Yeah. Or you're Buffalo Bill, you tuck it all under, don't you?
Yeah, and then hold your legs together.
Yeah, you wear like a girdle thing to sort of like compress it towards the back.
And then I just hold my legs together and just be like, oh, look, I'm a lady.
And yeah, it just made me laugh.
And then people tell me to pull my pants back up.
Ah, and then people go, Tom, you're at work. Oh, God. Yeah, I burst out laughing on the train. I couldn't control it.
Yeah, oh, I didn't make that connection between Dumbledore saying tuck in and doing that.
Imagine it was like, I only have 2 words. He just like pulled his robe down. It's like, tuck in. And then McGonagall was like, I'm sorry, he's not had his medicine today.
All the boys get up and they're like, oh, why do we have to do this every year?
Oh, Jesus Christ. So they start eating and then Hermione discovers that it's house elves that are the chefs and cleaners at Hogwarts.
Nearly Headless Nick is talking about how Peeves was all pissed off because he wasn't allowed to come to the feast again because the Bloody Baron put his foot down and he went and caused havoc in the kitchens and terrified the house elves out of their wits. And Hermione's like, clang!
Right, can that be the, like, exclamation that we make now? Yeah, and so she's like, this meal has been made by slave labour, and then she refuses to eat for the rest of the fucking feast.
Yep.
Which is like, I get it, but also, like, you're going to be hungry. So, yeah, after the feast, Dumbledore tells them that all, like, the Quidditch shenanigans are cancelled this year.
Yep.
And everyone's like, what? And then
everyone's like, clang.
Yeah. And he's about to tell them why when we hear...
boom.
Yeah.
And Moody's fucking dramatic entrance.
Yeah.
So, like, did he need to draw that much attention to it? I suppose it's the lightning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was kind of like, just kind of...
Yeah, he's like, fuck's sake, every time I walk into a room, can I not make an entrance without lightning flashing across my scary face?
Yeah, so he appears from the back of the hall, and everyone's sort of taken aback by his ghastly appearance.
Yeah, his grisly scarred visage,
yeah,
and the chunk of his nose missing.
And his mouth, what is his mouth, Tom? it's a diagonal gash.
Yeah, diagonal gash.
I was just like, oh God. Even with that, the like innuendo is just vile.
I mean, gashes should be vertical.
Or at least a weird noughts and crosses design. That's how I like it. I like it to look like a face hugger. Oh yeah, so everyone's like, what is that?
Yeah, only Dumbledore and Hagrid applaud, and then they sort of dies out a little bit.
Yeah, very quick.
Yeah. He goes up and shakes hands with Dumbledore, takes his seat at the table, and Dumbledore, does he introduce him?
I can't really remember, to be honest.
I feel like it would be weird if he didn't.
I kind of hope he doesn't then.
Just a scarred stranger walks into the hall and takes the empty seat at the teacher's table, and everyone's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, maybe he says, this is Alistair Moody, the new Defence Against the Dark Arts teacher. Maybe he does that. That's why he claps, probably. Introducing it. It'd be weird if he just started clapping.
Yeah, it would. Oh, yeah, I've literally written, Dumbledore introduces him, only he and Hagrid applaud.
Yeah, so after he sits, Dumbledore announces the Triwizard Tournament.
Yes.
It's an international competition between wizarding schools to foster friendship and all that jazz.
All that jazz. Yeah. Intermingling.
Yes, interspeciesism. Now, Dumbledore says the Triwizard Tournament is going to Hogwarts or something, and then George goes, you're joking!
Yeah.
And Dumbledore goes, I'm not joking, but I did hear one over the summer about a troll, a hag, and a leprechaun going into a pub, and then McGee gives like a little.
He's like, perhaps now is not the time.
If I was Dumbledore, I would have been like, no, McGonagall, sir.
Yeah, excuse me, I'm telling a joke.
They all go into the pub, and you have incredibly violent sex. Isn't that great? It's only like Moody in the corner, like laughing, like.
Oh yes, I remember. Yeah, so yeah, 700 years ago, the tournament was founded between the three schools, and they took it in turns to host it once every 5 years. Until...
God, fucking hell.
Yeah, until the death toll got too high.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so after he kind of explains all the jazz about it, he says that because of that, this year's competition is only open to those who are age 17 and up.
Yeah, to which there is a cry of outrage in reaction.
Yeah, which I don't really understand, because that's a very normal thing to say. And if I was in school and they had said that, I would have been like, okay, that makes sense.
Well, I agree that it's a sensible measure, but also if I was there and I was 16 and this was only going to happen once,
I guess so.
I'd be like, fuck off, I want in.
Yeah. I think that 16 and up would have been enough.
Yeah, but I guess the coming of age for wizards is 17.
Yeah, is that like an age in other, like, things?
I don't think so. I think it's just a convenient number for the seven books.
Oh my God, you're so right. I've literally never thought of that before. Oh, geez. I might start saying cheese instead of geez from now on.
Just see how long still someone calls you on it.
Yeah.
Are you saying cheese?
So Dumbledore says he's going to put an age line around. No, sorry.
No, yeah, he says an impartial judge.
He says I'm
going to
take measures, yeah.
Yeah, and it will be an impartial judge who decides who the champions are. And Fred and George are determined to find a way to hoodwink this judge.
Now, he does say that there's going to be, that he's put restrictions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Underage, but he doesn't say the age line, right?
No, the age line is when it's revealed that it's going to be the goblet. And he's
right,
then he says, I'll put an age line around it and advise you not to cross it. But he says, oh, yeah, there will be measures in place to prevent anyone from... Trying to hoodwink.
That's a weird saying.
It is, isn't it?
Hoodwink.
Hoodwink. What does that even mean?
Maybe it's when you was like doing something and then you'd look at the person who was meant to be in the know, you'd lift up your hood and wink at them. They'd be like, oh, I get it.
Oh, I've got the hoodwinker.
Yeah. Or maybe it's when like a foreskin retracts and...
I was going foreskin with hood, yeah.
And things start happening. Like, ah, oh, it's the hoodwink.
Yes,
and the
eye gives a little wink and then retreats back into its hood.
And you're like, oh,
come back.
Sorry, as soon as you said come back, all I could think is Kate Winslet at the end of Titanic. And she's like, come back. And she starts blowing on the whistle.
She finds the whistle, yeah.
That's lucky, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because what else would she have done?
She'd have been fucked.
Yeah. Do you know what? Serves her right, though. She should have fucking shared that door.
There was enough room.
There was. Even if they just hugged each other and stayed on the door.
Yeah.
Because that's what happens when you get involved with the boy from steerage. All right. So, chapter 13. I don't know why... I for some reason held up my phone and showed it to Tom as I said that. And I actually don't quite know why.
I was just confused about the boy from where?
Steerage.
What's that?
That was like the bottom half of the ship.
Oh.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm never making another movie reference on this pod ever again.
Fine by me.
Yes, yeah, so chapter 13 is Mad Eye Moody.
Yeah, Harry goes to sleep previously amid dreams of being the Hogwarts champion and the glory it would bring.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a safe fantasy because he knows it'll never happen.
Oh, Harry.
You're the protagonist, Harry. Of course you're going to be the champion.
Yeah, everything happens to you.
Yeah.
Literally, what hasn't?
I can't think of a thing.
God, yeah. So the next day, Harry's still awaiting news from Sirius.
Yeah. They get their timetables at breakfast or something.
Yeah. And they got Herbology first up. So
yep.
They go to Herbology and they're going to learn about booba tubers.
Booba tubers.
Professor Sprite's like, so this is a kind of crop top that doesn't require a strap.
You'll squeeze out the pus.
As it's the mid-90s, they're all the rage. Oh, God. Yeah, they're like these weird cucumbers with pustules on. And when you squeeze them, pus comes out. And it's really good for acne, apparently.
Yeah.
And it smells like petrol. And I love the smell of petrol.
It's a weirdly nice smell, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway. Hermione's eating again, they discover at breakfast, and I've realised there are better ways to fight for elf rights. And
Ron's like, yeah, and you're bloody hungry, I bet, as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Fucking twat. And she's like, excuse me, and he's like, cheese.
And this chapter, and actually the next few chapters, I think are really like prime them just going about their business around Hogwarts.
Yeah, like... Aside from the stress of making notes on them, I did actually enjoy listening to them.
Yeah.
I've said before, I just like them going about their day.
Yeah, so do I. And I think a lot of people do as well. And we get a really quite fully fleshed out picture among this chapter and I think the next few that we'll go into in the next episode where they're just, going to their lessons and we get insights into what happens in their lessons. But it's not like they're just ambling about with nothing happening. We know that there's a big plot thing looming. The Triwizard Tournament's happening and that people from other schools are arriving, so we know we've got that coming. But yeah, there's quite a nice little period where they get really in detail about what they just get up to day to day, and it's
nice. I sort of wonder if maybe that's why it's so big.
Yeah, maybe. You know? But a lot of it, I think, is sort of laying plot foundation, or it's, you know, it's just ways of bringing in character, ways of keeping us up to date with what Hagrid's doing. And
I mean, yeah, I think so. But I sort of think I think the reason why we all sort of love it is because of how complete the world is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, yeah, exactly. It's filling out the world as well. Yeah, yeah.
And I think because it's done in such a relatable way, it's not, it's, you know, it's sort of through like the prism of things that we can recognize in our own sort of like childhoods and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's like almost mundane, but in a really like kind of fascinating way.
Yeah, it is. But there's some, but is the mundanity, is that the word? Mundaneness? It's the ordinariness of it. that makes it relatable, but it's just got that, you know, with the sprinkling of magic on top of it, that makes it, ooh.
Yeah, and cool. I think she just has like a way of writing which is just, I don't know, it's like highly engaging.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, I sort of think that I reckon that's probably like the key to it, is that you get very sort of lost in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a few other mentions of lessons they go to, including care of magical creatures.
Yeah, because I meet Hagrid's new invention, blast-ended Scroots.
Yeah, the blast-ended Scroots. And Malfoy, he's like, we're going to learn how to raise them. And Malfoy's like, and why would we want to raise them? What do they do?
Yeah.
And Hagrid's like, which, I mean, on one hand, I'm like, I mean, to be fair, that's fair. I think that about any animal, but...
Jesus Christ.
But and so I'm like, I mean, that's a fair point, Malfoy. But also, you did take care of magical creatures, and this is care of magical creatures.
I don't think
creatures.
It was an option, though.
Was it not?
No, because remember, they drop it in year five.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so, because they drop it for their owls, and then Hagrid's like gets all like pissy with them because of it.
Oh.
And then they make up an excuse like, Hagrid, we just had to because of this reason. And then Hagrid's like, no, all right then. But yeah, like, it's a mandatory thing for this year.
Well, even if he didn't choose to take it, the lesson is still called care of magical creatures, so that's why you need to learn to take care of them.
Yeah, but you want to take care of things that have fur, at least. You don't want to take care of fucking weird mutant lobsters. Like, it's... it's just disgusting, and like... Draco says something like, oh, we should kill them all, something like that. And then Hermione's like, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, they're something, something.
It's well articulated.
And then after they leave the lesson, Hermione's like, well, I ain't mean funny, but Draco has a point. I think we should stamp on the lot of them. The quicker they're dead, the better we'll be.
Yeah.
And then... and then Ron's like, why so much hatred, Hermione? And she's like, well, you know, like... in the recession, their businesses all tend to do well. And then he's like, are you talking about Scroots? And she's like, no, Jews. He's like, no, Hermione. Oh, God. And then he's like, yeah, you should be taking fucking muggle studies, you awful human. And she's like, oh, that's where I learned it. But he's like, what's your teacher's name? And she's like, Helga von Wiverhusen. And he's like, ah.
Oh my god, you really went to a place with that one. They go to dinner,
yeah,
and Hermione's like cramming her food into her face, and she's like, I need to get to the library. And they're like, Hermione, it's the first day, we haven't even got any homework yet. She's like, I need to go to the library.
I need to go to the library, they only have one copy of this book I want. Everyone's like, which book? Oof, sorry.
Okay, the book was Mein Kampf, by the way. Just in case.
Oh my god, right. Okay, back in the room.
So Hermione dashes off to the library. They go to, and Ron and Harry go to divination.
Yeah, and sort of not long after they get in there, Trelawney comes up to Harry and she goes, Oh, Harry, I'm sure the thing that you dread will come to pass.
Yeah, she's that you seem preoccupied, my dear. I fear that that which you dread will come to pass sooner than you think. He's like, well, that doesn't matter. I'm not really dreading anything. Unless she's talking about maybe something's happened to Sirius. Or like, and he just kind of drifts off.
Mm.
And then someone like, I think maybe Ron nudges him or something. And he's like, oh shit. And Trelawney's like, asked him a question. He's like, you were born under Saturn or something. He's like, what? Saturn? Yeah. He's like, yes, Saturn. I think I am correct in guessing that you were born in midwinter. I was born in July. You fucking misty-eyed bitch.
So they all start working on their, like, chart thingies. And Lavender Brown gets an unexpected planet.
Yeah.
And
that is Uranus, my dear.
Yeah, and everyone goes, can I have a look at Uranus too, Lavender?
Classic astronomy joke.
It's so good that I'm amazed that she put it in it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, God. But Trelawney overhears, so she sort of gives everyone a hard time for the rest of the lesson. And she gives them extra homework, doesn't she?
I think so.
Oh, then what happens? Because Mr. Weasley is in the paper again. But who's in the paper?
Malfoy. Malfoy's holding a copy of the Daily Prophet and is like brandishing it as they walk past. And he's like, your father's in the paper, Weasley.
I'm loving your Malfoy impression, by the way. Yeah, so he's in the paper because he tried to help out Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah, and it's like ministry blunder again, writes Rita Skeeter. And
yeah, there's a picture there's a picture of Arthur and Molly together. And Malfoy calls Ron's mum Porky.
Yeah.
I thought that was very not nice.
Yeah, it was like, your mother could do with losing a bit of weight, couldn't she, Weasley? I was like, Malfoy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you take the piss out of Harry's dead parents a lot.
But not fat parents.
No, you can't fat shame.
Exactly. And then Ron, like, does his classic Ron, like, lunge forward and...
Yeah, Harry throws a sort of mediocre slam back at Malfoy.
I thought it was
all right.
Just the word he used was wrong, because he goes, you know your mum, Malfoy, that look she has on her face, like she's got dung under her nose. Does she always look like that, or is it just because she was with you?
Yeah.
If he said shit under her nose...
Well, yeah, but I mean, he can't actually say shit because it's a Harry Potter book.
What could she said instead of shit, which would have probably implied shit, but wasn't dung?
Poopy.
That look she has, like she always has poopy under her nose. Maybe if he just said like she always has brown under her nose.
Yes, we all look down on brown.
Said Hermione.
And Harry and Ron, they sort of turn to go, all right, let's leave it. And then they hear a big bang. And then they're like, what?
No, Harry feels a searing thing go past the back of his neck.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. And then he turns and then we hear the bang and Malfoy's turned into a ferret.
Yeah.
So McGonagall comes along and he's like, what are you doing? Is that a student?
Yeah. He's like, but Alastair, what are you doing? He goes, teaching.
He's like, is that a student?
Is that a student?
He's like, it might be. He's like, we never use transfiguration as a form of punishment. Surely Dumbledore mentioned that.
And he's like, oh, you might have mentioned it.
Yeah. And so she transforms Malfoy back.
Yeah, and then Malfoy mutters something that includes, like, oh, my father. And Matt Moody's like, yes, I know your father of old, boy.
Yeah.
You give him my regards or something like that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, yeah.
Fuck yeah, Moody.
Yeah, and then they go for lunch and they...
Hermione rushes off to the library again.
Yeah, sorry. And then they meet up with the twins and the twins, one of the twins' friends.
Lee Jordan.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is he their only, like, friend?
He's with them a lot in this book.
Okay. And then they've all just, like, the twins and Lee have just come from their first Defense Against the Dark Arts lesson.
Oh, yeah. And they start sucking Moody's dick.
Yeah,
like he's
and
fucking...
he's like, oh, we just come from... Man, he just knows, man.
He knows, man.
And so, like, everyone starts getting excited about the next, about their first lesson with Moody. But it's
oh, we haven't got him until Thursday.
Yeah, and then that brings us quite handily to the end of this episode.
It does indeed.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying the general ambling around Hogwarts.
Me too. I've got almost no, like, ugh, why do they do this notes? It's just like, it's just, I'm basically just describing everything. I'm basically just writing the book down.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, it's just really, like, fun and cool. That doesn't mean there isn't plenty of stuff that we can talk about to go, because believe me, there is. Yeah. Sort of on a very large scale. That almost might negate everything we say now.
Yeah. But in the meantime, we'll just keep making poopy jokes until we get there.
Poop and cheese. Or choop and peas.
Choop and peas.
I like that. So yeah, thank you for listening. Check us out on Instagram at PoilyRedPod. Check us out on Twitter at PoilyRedPod. Email us anything you want at PoilyRed@gmail.com. We've had quite a few really awesome emails and some like extra insights into different things, which we're hoping to have an episode on in the near future. We can talk about all those cool bits.
Yeah, or release a segment.
Yeah, or we just might keep on promising this and then never deliver. But yeah, keep on sending them in. We read everything. We try and get back to everyone. So yeah, for this week, I've been Gifted.
And I've been Tom.
And poop's been cheese.